Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we've been taking a look at it. We've been looking at our sanctification and the adoption of sons and the vocation wherewith we've been called. And we've been looking at this here in verse 28. But we'll look here. Come up to verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What I'm after here is verse 28. This is what we've been examining, and after we leave from this verse here, we're going to go into a different set of doctrine. We're going to be going into the sanctification, the sufferings according to the sufferings of Christ instead of the sufferings of this present time. And when you look in here in verse 28, at the end of the verse, it says, well, I'll just read the whole verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that's what we're looking at. We're going to be looking at the called. Who are the called? And there's different words, there's different titles for that. One's being the called concerning justification, and also concerning being adopted sons, being ones that you have a calling as far as your sanctification goes. And because your sanctification, you've been called to live on to him. You have a vocation wherewith you've been called. And that's what's being spoken of here. And I want to make sure we got a good clarity on what's being spoken of in this verse, because someone look at this and just say, well, this should just apply to anyone that's just justified. You know, all you have to do is become just justified, and this title ought to apply to you. But in certain ways, it can apply to you, because this would be God's plan for you, that you would learn how to love him the way you ought. You would learn how to be called according to his purpose. But you got to first understand what his purpose is in order to be the ones that are the called. And to be adult sons as he has designed that you would be. So that's what we were looking at today. We're going to be looking at the issue of being the called according to his purpose and what's being said here, what the context is speaking of here. And but before we look at that, I want to make sure we have a good handle on everything else that we've spoken about prior to this, about that, the sufferings and the whole issue of being ones, where it says here in verse 28, to them that love God. And we looked at that before about ones that love God, which you give up of yourself. You would understand the necessity that when you are weak, when we are weak, then Christ's strength is made perfect through our weakness. And when we are weak, then we're considered strong. And this has to do with the doctrine here. And to understand that, we've looked at many verses concerning that. But I want you to come take a look at one other verse here in 2 Corinthians. And turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is Paul. He's winding down from this is the last verse, last chapter here in the book of 2 Corinthians, where he's been giving the saints reproof, doctrine, correction, exhortation, because they weren't walking as they ought to. But they were starting to walk accordingly. They were experiencing the sufferings of Christ. which is associated with, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So Paul gave him doctrine, which should be associated with that, to help them with their firmness. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at verse 2. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 2. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare, since ye seek the proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. And I'm going to stop there. This is what Paul is talking about, the doctrine. And he's saying that these guys' understanding was darkened, and he's talking to the ones who have, as he says, have sinned into all other. And he wants them to walk worthy. Well, let's go to verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now, I'm going to stop there. But we see the example that Paul is giving of Christ, how Christ was crucified through weakness, because we know what the verse says. He humbled himself. He made himself as fashioned after a man. He the Father gave him up, and he submitted unto death. And he was crucified through weakness, but yet he liveth by power of God. And we also are given that example there. As Paul says, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And that living with him, not only is it talking about what's going to happen when we leave this earth, but it's also talking about a functional life that you have now. And it's by the power of God. And notice he uses the word, the terminology, weak. We are weak in him. And that weakness is when the things that you're going through. He's talking about saints who aren't walking accordingly. Their mindset is not properly on what it ought to be. They're not showing forth that true love to give up of themselves. And this is what we're going to see here. Now notice what he says here about their walk, about how they ought to grow up, how they ought to be what God called them to be. Look at verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? That's a great verse there, too, that ones ought to check themselves. That ought to be a checkpoint. That's something that we ought to also do, is time to time examine ourselves. Take a step back and look at ourselves. And he says, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. And what are they proving themselves by? They're proving themselves by the word. And just as we're taught in Romans chapter 12, when Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And then he goes on and talks about that you prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That proving that you ought to do, that's why he says, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? And that's what you ought to know. You ought to come to understand that. And if that's the case, if you know this, why would you want to walk after this world, except you be reprobates? Now let's go to verse 6. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we could do nothing against the truth, but for truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. I'm going to stop there. You see what Paul is saying here? He's saying that he would have them to do no evil. And he says not that he, not that they should appear approved, but that they should do what's honest. It's not about, you know, Paul coming along and saying, hey, see, I told you so. But it's that they get, that they get that truth, that they do things that are righteous and acceptable in the sight of God. And then he says in verse 9, he says, for we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. Paul says he's glad when he's weak. But it's because of the, he has the saints in mind. He would rather, he's given up of himself. He's showing true agape love where he's given up of himself for others, the same way the Lord and Savior did. And he says, this we also wish, even your perfection. He wants them to be perfected, doctrinally perfected, not physically. Therefore, verse 10, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. That's what Paul is saying. He's not going to come in there like he did when he was before he was saved. You know, he could have, but he says, no, he's going to do this. He's going to use sharpness according to edification. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. The God of love and peace shall be with you. And this is what he's telling these saints, to be perfect, be of good comfort. Because in order to be perfect, yea, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they're going to suffer persecution. But while they're doing that, they should ought to be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace. Regardless of what's happening all around them or to them, they can still live in peace. Because they have the God of love and peace, he's going to be with them if they allow that doctrine to work effectively like it ought to be. Now, hopefully we got that issue going on about that love of God there and about what Paul is asking the saints over there in Romans 8:28 when he says, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, them that love God would walk the same way you see Paul walking here. They would examine themselves whether they be in the faith. They would prove themselves. And this would be a checkpoint that you'd be doing daily. You'd be doing this daily here. Also, now let's take a look at the last part of that verse. It says, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Now, for that, let's take, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1, and let's take a look at verse 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sophonies, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. See, now remember, Paul is not just writing to justify people. He's writing to them that are sanctified. So these are ones who Paul wants to get established. He wants them to get established upon sound doctrine. See, they were taking in doctrine. As a matter of fact, not only were they taking in doctrine, they had different teachers. You see, they had Apollos in there. They had Paul. They had Peter. So, but they weren't allowing it to work effectually. And also, not just that, we see in 1 Corinthians 8 and things like that, they were giving heed to idol worshiping and things like that. But he wanted them to be established in sound doctrine. But these people here, he's talking about, this is to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And this isn't just talking about justification. Remember, he's writing to these people. He identifies them as the church of God. So he wants more than just only their justification. What he's after here is them to be established. And you're going to see what he wants. He wants them to be established. Verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge. And you notice what's at stake here? He wants them to be enriched, wants them to be perfect. He wants their perfection as being saints, in all utterance, in all knowledge. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, and see here, he's explaining, even as you've been justified, and that was confirmed. And see, that's no issue where you got to keep coming back on or keep wondering about. That's already been confirmed in us, in ones that are justified. That's not what this calling is all about here. Verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that gift is not speaking in tongues, the healing gifts and things like that. This is about establishment and doctrine. It's about that spiritual gift, it's inner man gift, other than the testimony of Christ being confirmed in you. That gift is already settled. This is another gift he's speaking of here. So that you come behind in no gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, because had the rapture had happened at that day, they would have came behind in the gift. They wouldn't have benefited from them walking as sons before the rapture came. And this is what Paul is saying here. Verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul's prayer was that they become established, you see. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And you see, when it says God is faithful, see, you got to trust God at his word. Also, you got to trust the doctrine. That's why it says God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son. And again, that being called. And what Paul is saying here is he's saying, yeah, God is faithful, and you got to trust him that his word is going to work for you. And we know God cannot lie. And verse 10, now I beseech you, brother, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, same judgment. You know, you got people and you got churches all over the world and different religions or whatever. And they all are of the same mind. They all are joined, perfectly joined together and in the same judgment. But then, too, you have other little branches that come out of those things. But he's talking about you being perfectly joined together in the same mind, same judgment, according to sound doctrine. That's why it says, talks about the fellowship of his Son. And that's why it talks about you being according to his purpose. Not yours, not your pastor, not this world's purpose, but his purpose, the Lord's purpose. Now, let's come over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's take a look at some of the doctrines here. Ephesians chapter 1, and this is also going to be called you're going to see the called according to his purpose here. Ephesians chapter 1, let's just look at verse 1. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, what you're going to see, what the all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are right here. And we're only going to read so much, but But the whole chapter shows you what the spiritual, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are, right there. Everything you can get or going to get, it's all right in chapter 1 there. It's all right in chapter 1. And this is what these are the spiritual, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And Paul is going to give you a list of the things right here. And most people overlook this. Now, let's start with the first. And notice, verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen us. That's one of the gifts, one of the spiritual blessings that you have, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, all that there, even if it was only just this, that would be a great spiritual blessing. But he says that we should be holy and without blame before him. How? In love. The only way you're going to be holy without blame before him is to them that love God, to them that are operating upon the true agape love, ones that want to give up of themselves. And it says in verse 5, here's another one, have him predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And this is another one here. Now, what we're going to look at next week is we're going to look at the gift. We're going to look at that, what it says here, the adoption of children. And what's the difference between the adoption of children and the adoption of sons? And we're going to look, I don't want to go into that right now, but next week we're going to look at what's the differences between, when he says, unto the adoption of children and then the adoption of sons. And there's many verses that talk that Paul says that we are children of God and then sons of God. So we'll look at that next week. I don't want to get into that. But here's another, something else we've been given. We've been predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, this is another one, made us accepted in the beloved. And this is something else that we've been given. Verse 7, here's another one, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Here's another one, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And this is what we've been given through his word. This is the benefit that we get out of his word. Now, this is how it happened. Verse 9, another thing, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now, how has he made that known? He's made it known through his word, which is the Spirit. And we have that in our possession. We have that right in front of us in our King James Bibles. And it says, verse 10, that, and this is another one, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. And there's much more, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, I'm going to just stop there because I can go on and on of all the things that you've been given here, and it goes all the way down telling you about the vocation that you have also, all the way to verse 23. And it's, all these things are the spiritual blessings. And I know we know the verse there, about when it says, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But the list is given here of everything you've been given in him, and nothing is left out. Not one thing. Not you getting physically healed, or God physically healing someone else, or you have a large bank account, or a perfect family, or whatever the issue could be. That's not a blessing. That's not a blessing of God. God's not blessing or dealing with or even concerned with your outer man. But Satan is. Let's come over to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's take a look at some more verses here on that issue. Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And you see here, this is a vocation. You've been given. What he's telling you is, you should have seen chapter 1. You should have seen how you ought to walk in that vocation that you've been given. Now, I'm asking you, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And notice Paul calls himself the prisoner of the Lord. And see, Paul is bound. What he's saying is he wants them to understand that they ought to give up, that they ought to display that agape love, that they ought to act like ones that that love him, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. He says that you walk worthy. And how they would know is examine yourselves. The same way we've seen over there in 2 Corinthians 13. This is how they ought to walk here, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in what? Love. That's how they ought to be walking. But while they're walking, this is going to be the benefits from it, the fruits of it. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. That unity of Spirit, the unity of that, of the Word. The unity of the Word in bond and peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Notice he talks about that being called in one hope of your calling. And that hope is things are going to be done according to his purpose. And he tells you that one hope is everything you've been shown in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. That's what they've been called to be. That's their calling. That's the hope of their calling. And he wants them to walk by that and walk by that one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope, the one. You see, he talks about there's one body, one Spirit. And verse 6, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And that's the way it ought to be. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God's not dealing with different saints. He's not dealing with this saint different than he deal with that other saint. We've been all given the same amount of spiritual blessings in heavenly places through him. Now let's go. Now, if you will, I want to show you how the other saints responded with this. And I always go to the Thessalonian saints because how they reacted was the way they ought to. They allow God's word to work effectually within them the way God designed. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians, and let's look at chapter 2. And you're going to see they were doing what God called them to do. They were walking accordingly unto the vocation wherewith they were called. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's look at verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we have exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now, you see there, and Paul came among them. He came among them sacrificing of himself, giving up of himself. He didn't ask much. He labored and travailed, he said, laboring night and day. And he says, he wasn't charged to belong to them. He didn't ask anything of them. His main purpose was their edification. He wanted their perfection. And look at what he says. This is what he had hoped, and what he charged every one of them. He says, verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. And you see there, that's talking about the same thing we've seen in Ephesians, where that's what he was calling them onto. It was a calling based upon their service, based upon them being sons, based upon them being what God called them to be, which is being conformed to the image of his son. And that's what we're going to see when we get, when we start reading in the next section there, in Romans 29. It's going to tell us about all those things about he predestinated you, foreknew you, and called you, and all these things for the purpose of conforming you to the image of his son, which is being as sons. Sonship. It's a work, conforming that saint into what God has called them to be, their perfection. And that's what's being said here in verse 12 here. But look at the outcome. Look at when they did walk worthy. Okay, I'm back. Got disconnected there. But let's remember where I left off at. With these saints here in Thessalonians, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, and we're seeing how these saints walk accordingly as they ought to have walked, not as the Galatians and the Corinthians did. But these Thessalonians saints, they did as verse 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye have heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And see, and he's saying this because it's easy for the natural man to receive the word of men because of that, because man's wisdom is looked upon as being something that's highly. When you got a high status there, when you're considered the wise, and most people try to achieve that, they long after that, and they look upon God's word as being foolishness or a waste of time, and we see that on a daily basis there. But as he says here, they allow God's word to effectually work in them that believe. That's what they allow God's word to do, and they allow it to work from the inside out. And again, now let's come over to, while we're in 1 Thessalonians, come to chapter 4. But again, as we've seen over there, when he says, you walk worthy who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory, they understood their calling. Chapter 4, let's look at verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the other Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such things, of all such, as we have also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And this is what Paul is telling them. The Lord has called them to sanctification. He's called them to be sanctified. He's called them to be an extension of his holiness. And we've seen over there in 1 Corinthians, actually 2 Corinthians chapter 6, when it talks about you can't be, it says light has no place with darkness, and neither does Christ with Belial, and you can't be partakers of the Lord's table, and you can't be partakers of the devil's table, is what this is being said here. And that's a calling, but that's a calling based upon sanctification. Now let's come over to 1 Timothy. Let's come over to 1 Timothy. And again, that's another call, a calling there, which is, it's being worded differently, but it's all dealing with your sanctification. But as sons, 1 Timothy, let's look at chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And while we're in chapter 6, let's look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians, come to verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fighting the good fight of faith. Lay hold onto eternal life, whereunto thou art called, are also called, and have professed the good profession before many witnesses. And you notice here in verse 12, when Paul says, fight the good fight of faith, then he's saying, lay hold on to eternal life. See, eternal life is our possession. But he wants the saints to have the mind frame that, as he's mentioned before about in Colossians, if ye be then risen with him, then walk as you ought to walk. I'm just paraphrasing that then. What he's saying is, if you are raised up, you ought to walk as you've been called. Lay hold on eternal life. Just as he told the saints in Romans, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And he says, thou art also called, because not only do we have a calling here on this earth in the conforming to the image of his son, to do all the things, the verses we just looked at. But also, the other calling he's saying is we're going to have eternal life. We have a heavenly vocation that we've been called upon. We have positions in the principalities, the powers, the mights, the thrones, the dominions, the seats that we are going to occupy. We have a calling based upon that. Also, as you see here in verse 12. Now let's come over to 2 Timothy. Let's come over to 2 Timothy. And another thing, while I'm looking at this here, you see how it says, it said, they have erred from the faith. You know, when it talks about one's teaching that the love of money is the root of all, teaching that love of money is being blessed, that if you have money, you're blessed. And he says they have erred from the faith. That doesn't mean that they're not saved. It just means that they are walking after Satan. They're given over to this world. That's why they pierce themselves through with many sorrows, because they're going to keep depending on that issue. They're going to keep, when they don't get the money, when they don't get when they're not getting the money, they're going to think they're not being godly. Just like he said, ones that preach that gain is godliness. Well, it's ones that accept that type of doctrine, they're only going to think that when their bank account is full or when they have things, when they're able to gain things, they think that that's how godliness is. They think that's being closer to God. But when that's not the case, they're going to have many sorrows because they're being lied to. They're being told that this is how God is that they are the called based upon what they have. And that's something we have to fully, truly understand. That's not what God is doing. That's not his purpose. Now, again, 2 Timothy, let's look at chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We looked at that last week. We looked at the whole issue of how can Paul say that this was already given to us before the world began, before we even were here on the world. That's because it was written down. It's etched in stone, so to speak. And God, who cannot lie, has given this to us that we ought to accept and want to be the ones that are called according to his purpose. Ones that ought to, as he says here, he's telling Timothy that be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Timothy should already know that he's appointed there onto the afflictions because he sees what Paul's going through. You see, Paul as an example onto Timothy is in prison. He's writing from prison, going through the afflictions. And then he's explaining to him that, you see what I'm going through, but this is the reason. I'm doing this for your sake and the other saints' sake. And this is how you ought to do also. And notice what he says here in verse 9. He says, when speaking of the power of God, he says, who has saved us. Now, he could have just stopped there and said, hey, Timothy, he saved you. He gave up of himself. Hey, just go out there and be partakers of the afflictions because of the goodness God gave you. But no, that's not all. He says, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. And he's telling Timothy here, look at this gift you've been given. If it's given unto you, it's a gift. An undeserving gift there. But what he's saying is that not only did he save you, that's not his only purpose. It's just to save us so we won't go to hell. He's called us with a holy calling to be as sons, to be the called according to his purpose. That's what's being said when we look at Romans chapter 8 here. And we're going to come back to Romans 8 in a minute. I just want to get this fresh in your mind here of what's being said. But you notice he's explaining it's not just a one-purpose thing here. His only purpose was not just only to save you so you won't go to hell. He's trying to conform saints into the image of his son. And there's a holy calling that we have that we ought to walk worthy. We ought to do it again, as 2 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourselves. Know ye not your own selves? Prove your own selves. Take a step. You know, and this is what we got to come to understand. And everything, when you get the chance, go back over the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And look at all the things he's given unto us. And every time when he says, and, ask who, and he's going to tell you what you've been given. All the way through everything. Even like in, not to go there, but when you get a chance, take a look at all those things that you've been given. And only most of the time when I see people go over Ephesians chapter 1, they only look at the spiritual blessing thing there, and then they go and they only see that we've been given the justification thing there, that when it talks about that we got the we trusted and we heard, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and which is the earnest of our inheritance. And they say, well, yeah, that's just showing that you got justification. You can't lose it. And that's what you've been given, and you're sealed with that. That's your purchased possession. But they miss everything else that's here that's telling you about your vocation and how you ought to walk worthy of who God has called you to be. And all these spiritual gifts that you are given, in Christ. And with that, you know what? Now you see this here in verse 9, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 here, when it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, okay? Now come over to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's take a look at something. We'll have a look at one verse here, but let's take a look at something here in Ephesians chapter 1. And you're going to see the similar thing that's being said there that we saw in 2 Timothy. You're going to see here in the book of Ephesians. Just call to mind something that came up. I just want you to take a look at that also. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at someone to look at it here, but let's look at verse 18. Well, verse 17. And again, this is more things that are given, more spiritual blessings. Verse 17, that the God of our Father, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And this is what Paul is explaining to them. These are all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places that they have, that are their possession, if they want to attain onto that, if they want to be ones that are conformed to the image of his son, to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And he says that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is something that he's talking to these Ephesian saints who are a little more mature than the Corinthian and Galatian saints. Now, he's just telling Timothy in 2 Timothy, he told Timothy, he said, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling. He didn't have to break it down like he's doing here in Ephesians, because Timothy already knows this. But he's telling Timothy to stir that gift up. He's reminding him what he's not laying hold on. And he's saying here, what is a calling? That's all what we've been called to be there. And I hope you got a good understanding, because we're closing this out here in Romans 8:28, so you'll know what is to them that love God, what Paul means by that. It's just not one saying, oh, I love God because he saved me. No. Knowing what that true agape love is all about and the verses that we took a look at there. Knowing what Paul says when he's saying the called, not just the called as in, oh, he called me to be justified. No. The called is what you see here, is what he's saying, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. These saints here in Ephesians were already justified. Well, why does he have to tell them that you may know what is the hope of his calling? Evidently, it's something that they need to get resonated in their minds, that they need to learn, that they need to understand what this means when he says the calling, or the being the called, according to his purpose. Now let's come to Romans chapter 8. Let's take a look at that again, and we're going to finish this up, and we'll give you a little introduction for next week. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, let me stop because we looked at what Paul means when he says all things work together for good. And then we've seen, you know, what that means and what that entails there. And we looked at work together for good to them that love God, what that means. Now we're looking at the whole issue of to them who are the called according to his purpose and what this means. So hopefully we understand that the called is not speaking of the justification, people that have only been justified, but it's speaking of ones that are living the way that he wants them to live onto them, onto him. Now, next week what we're going to look at is the difference between the adoption of sons and the adoption of children. And I just want to read a couple of verses here, just give you the gist of what's being said there. While you're in Romans chapter 8, come to verse 14, Romans 8, 14. Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. But the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, why do you see here when Paul says in verse 16, he says, well, actually verse 14, Paul says they are the sons of God. Then verse 16, he says that we are the children of God. Then it says 17, it says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him. Then you see in verse 19, it says the creatures waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, it says, the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, the question I'll ask you, and you can take a look at this on your own, is this the same? Is being a child, the children of God, the same as sons of God? If you get the chance, take a look at that there. And also, come over to turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Come back to the book of Ephesians. Come to the book of Ephesians, and you know we looked at one of the other issues there. Ephesians, just look at the one verse there. Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verse 5. Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see adoption of children here. And you don't even have to turn to Galatians, because we're going to do this next week. Galatians, it talks about adoption of sons. And another verse, I'll give you another verse to take a look at. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Why Paul didn't say sons, as sons? So these are things we're going to look at next week. I just want to give you something to take a look at on your own. And we will take a look at these things and see what's going on with that next week, the difference of sons and children, before we start on verse 29. But with that, I'm going to close, and I want to thank everyone for listening to another Thursday night study. And next week we are going to take a look at all the issues pertaining to this, the adoption of sons or the adoption of children. Thank you for listening. Until next week.